This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. Documentarian Matthew Heineman has worked in difficult and often dangerous situations. His 2015 film, Cartel Land, follows the ongoing Mexican drug wars. His 2021 documentary, The First Wave, is a plunge into a hard-hit New York hospital at the start of the pandemic. Heineman first collaborated with John Batiste on that film. Batiste then asked Heineman if he wanted to make a documentary about his process as he composed and performed a symphony at Carnegie Hall. That film, American Symphony, was transformed when Batiste's wife was diagnosed with a recurrence of leukemia. So in the beginning, when you thought this was going to be the American Symphony, you know, I'm assuming when you went in, you didn't want it to be like a typical music documentary, whatever that is. I mean, some of them are great. I'm not meaning to disparage any others, but you wanted to look for something to make it different. I don't know, did you have anxiety? Like, how am I going to make this stand out in the crowd of, you know, everything from Taylor Swift to whatever else is coming up?
Yeah, I mean, again, not to disparage quote unquote music documentaries, but that was the last thing in the world that I wanted to do here. I'm not quite sure, like, given how I make films, even how I would have made a music doc, but I never really even considered it a music doc. I considered it a doc about two human beings navigating these incredible highs and lows over the course of a period of time. And of course, as part of that story, documenting the creation of this symphony with John, in terms of that, I think that one of the things that terrified me the most is like, could I actually feel like we were burrowing inside of his head, that we were feeling the artistic process in real time, that we were seeing him, the creation in real time, as opposed to talking about it weeks later, months later? You know, could I actually pull that off in a Verite film in real time? And I think we're able to do that. You know, there's some, you know, obviously the scene before they get married in which John is rehearsing and comes up with one of the main themes of the symphony on camera. You know, that wasn't scripted, that wasn't planned, that wasn't set up. Like, you really see the neurons firing in his head as he comes up with this theme.
That's important, man. That thing where it feels familiar at
yes.
home.
When it feels like something, but it's not something.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's good.
Yeah.
It feels like you've heard it before.
Right,
but
right.
It's actually new. That's the best.
Oh.
You know, that's such a beautiful moment. And there's countless moments in the film like that where you're seeing these things happen in real time. But yeah, I think this sort of idea of a music doc scared me, and it's certainly not something that I wanted to set out to do.
So as you're moving along and the Grammy nominations happen, and it's a stark contrast to the hospital scenes where you're the only one allowed in, you sneak into the Grammys. I will note that I have crashed some parties and gotten around a big bouncer once in a while, but I don't know. I think there'd be a fair degree of security at the Grammys.
I mean, we tried for months to go through the official channels of gaining official access, but, you know, for a variety of reasons that didn't pan out. And so on the day of, I sort of snuck in as part of John's entourage, and, you know, I was dressed in like a t-shirt and jeans, and I stuck out like a sore thumb, and I ended up filming that whole sequence just on my iPhone because, you know, I couldn't bring in my real camera. And it wasn't like, oh, it would be cool to be at the Grammys. It felt sort of disingenuous to make this film that was so up close and personal. We're literally like in bed with John and Suleika, and then to cut to the Grammys, this pinnacle moment in John's career, and observe it through like the feed.
Right.
So, you know, it was important to me to see him in that context, to see his face, to see how he felt, the emotions of the room. And obviously we didn't know he's going to end up winning 5 Grammys and Album of the Year, but it was certainly an exciting moment. Mm-hmm. And obviously one of the sub-themes of the film too is John's sort of rising fame and the sort of the contrast between the day before the Grammys and then the day after the Grammys walking through that airport was incredibly stark. His life was different after that. And his quote unquote like status in the world was different and the expectations were different. That's another theme or sub-theme of the movie.
Yes. And then to get to this contrast where you're the one and only allowed into the hospital room, I read that when you shot the American Symphony performance at Carnegie Hall, there were 13 cameras. How does that even happen?
I don't think I've ever had a film that has had such a wide-ranging canvas of like deep intimacy. And then again, the sort of scope of 13 cameras at Carnegie Hall. And it was really fun to be able to sort of play in both metaphorical arenas. yes, there were 13 cameras, but I think the thing that I fought for the most in covering John's symphonic performance was I didn't just want it to feel like a traditional concert or symphony shooting from long lenses. Like, I really wanted to get a Steadicam on the stage with him to see that experience through John's eyes and to feel the bench creak underneath them and to see the sweat on his brow and to look out of the crowd through his eyes. And, you know, we were fighting for that Steadicam up until literally the minute he walked onto the onto the stage. It was a deep negotiation with Carnegie Hall and with various other players. I don't think the feeling of that performance would have felt the same if we were just cutting from sort of long lens traditional coverage. And especially obviously when the power goes out, which is something we never could have predicted or scripted, you know, that Steadicam that was on stage ended up being the only sound source. All the sound recording, you know, died when the power went out. And so if it wasn't for that Steadicam, that whole moment never would have been recorded sonically.
So you shot like 1500 hours and you, I think at one point had a cut that was like several hours long, five or six, that felt watchable from your standpoint. Were you never tempted to say, let's make it into a series? Because I know it was meant to be a film, but was it ever a thought, like, why not chop it into multiple episodes?
So when we started cutting, that was like a, maybe not daily, but at least every couple of days, definitely weekly conversation. Is this a feature doc? Is this a series? Is this a feature doc? Is this a series? And we certainly had enough material to make a very vibrant series. As you said, you know, our first rough cut was like 5 hours or so. And it was like, normally I'm like crying through those 5 hours and wondering why I even made this film and questioning life and my existence in this world.
Right.
This was like an actually like watchable, entertaining 5 hours. And so it wasn't really until we got into Telluride that we're like, well, I guess we kind of have to make a decision what we're doing here. And again, no distributor at this point. So we could have gone whatever direction we wanted to. But I think at that point, we committed to making a feature doc and getting it down to a reasonable length. But certainly, you know, major storylines, amazing scenes were left on the cutting room floor.
So you go to Telluride, Netflix comes in, I'm sure with an aggressive check. And I think were the Obamas already looped into that? Because, you know, I'm sure that was super appealing, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I think during the sort of flirtation stage with the various distributors we were talking to, I met with President Obama and, you know, not only quite a charming man, but just his enthusiasm for the film and sort of his view of the film and view of the potential of the film. And we just, you know, really saw eye to eye on almost everything. And so it was obviously incredibly humbling and surreal meeting.
Out of body experience. Yeah.
Yeah. It was completely out of body, but I think it was also just solidifying knowing that, like, okay, I think we're in the right hands here. And, you know, them in combination with Netflix is about as good as combo as you can get for this film.
Well, also Netflix brings the eyeballs much more so than, you know, any kind of other thing I can think of right now, right?
Yeah, and the global reach, and, you know, it just the whole package was exactly what we dreamed of. And so, you know, we're just so grateful to both Higher Ground and to Netflix for giving this film the platform they've given it, and really, you know, quickly. You know, it's we didn't premiere that long ago, and here we are. So it's been sort of rapid fire release, but it's been great.
So did Obama have any notes, or did Michelle have something to say?
You know, he definitely had thoughts, but we were pretty much locked with the festival cut that we had and made some small little tweaks in the mix and color, but no really big editorial changes after we premiered.
Did you have to go, I'm sorry, Mr. President, but I have Final Cut.
he's so humble and so gracious. I think he's like, here's some thoughts, you know, take him or leave him.
Right.
And I think his thoughts coincided with a lot of people's thoughts, which one of which was, can we see more of the symphony? And I think that's a whole nother conversation that we're having is, you know, can we release the symphony separately so people can at some point see the symphony alongside the film? But one of the things that was nice in terms of our sort of mutual vision for the film is I think we all thought that this film could also make an impact. And one of the many things that we're trying to do is help raise awareness for bone marrow transplants and the need to sort of increase the donor pool, but also diversify the donor pool. And so that's one of the many things that we're trying to do with the film. And that's part of our big screening that we had in New Orleans with the First Lady coming down and introducing the film. So there's been a number of wonderful moments already, and you know, there's still stuff to come. So we're just really excited and honored. And yeah.
Matthew Heineman directed American Symphony, starring Jon Batiste. The film is streaming on Netflix. Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
And that's The Business. Joshua Farnham produced and edited today's program with help this week from John Meek and Nick Lamponi, who mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW shows on kcrw.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.